Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Title of the lesson today, Salt and Pepper. Luke chapter 9. Don't worry, I'm not going to throw any salt on you or pepper on you. I've been known for throwing food at people, but not condiments. Amen. Luke 9, verse 50. Mark 9, 50. I'm sorry, what's up with Luke? Why what's up with Luke today? Maybe we got to end up there before it's over. Who knows? Mark 9, 50 says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. That's an awesome verse, isn't it? But what does it mean? I mean, you ever read the Bible or hear verses like that and you go, salt is good, amen. But what's that got to do with spirituality? I mean, I like salt on my food. I remember Juan Carlos did a sermon not too long ago that was awesome. And he was talking about people with certain medical conditions that you cannot have salt. Try eating your food without salt. It's very bland. And so I'm not talking about a lot of salt is good. I'm talking about salt is good, period. And salt, if you study it out, which I don't know that many of you, let me study out salt today. However, in this context, we kind of need to. What does it mean salt is good? And that's point number one. Salt is good. Well, let's look over in, guess what? Luke 14. Maybe that's why Luke was so on my mind. One of the great ways to understand the Bible when you're not sure what it means, and we're going to look at a few passages today that might cause a little misunderstanding. One of the great ways to study it out is to study out the parallel scriptures in different Gospels. In Luke 14, we're going to look in verse 25 and see if we can't understand what it means, salt is good. Luke 14, 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, please come follow me. I need a lot of followers. I want people to call themselves my name, Christian. Please. It's so important to me. Is that how you fish for men?
No.
I think that's how sometimes we're tempted to fish for men. That's not how Jesus fished.
Come on.
You might not understand how Jesus fished. But let's read. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Well, that's the way to win them, Jesus.
Come on.
See what I mean? Sometimes you read the Bible and go, what in the world? What does that mean? And it's important to study it out. Amen, guys?
Yes.
Reading on. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me. What does it say? Can't be my disciple. Verse 33. In the same way, any of you who does not give up a good percentage everything he has. What does it say? Cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. Sorry, sisters. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let's talk a little bit about what this means. In the end here, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that if you actually have two ears, you can hear? Well, it's true. But that's not what Jesus is saying. If you have ears to hear, it doesn't mean if you actually have ears. It means if you want to hear about this, then come here. And the way Jesus fished is when large crowds came, he would throw out a lesson, a parable, if you will, a story with a heavenly meaning, and sometimes they were a little biting like this one. You see, point number one, salt is good. But point number two, pepper is good too. Amen, guys? Sometimes like, oh yeah, I like the salt, but no pepper for me. Jesus put the pepper on there too, you know what I'm talking about? He says, unless you hate the closest people to you, you can't be my disciple. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. A lot of people hear that and go, okay, thanks for the chicken. See you later. I'm out. Thanks for the food. Thanks for the barbecue. But for those that want to hear this, come be my disciple.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Follow me. That's what a disciple is. It's a follower.
Right.
And for those that would follow, he would explain everything. But he knew not everybody in the crowd was there because they really wanted to learn.
Come on.
Not everybody in the crowd was going to be able to be his disciple.
Right.
What do you think about the qualifications to be a disciple here? Pretty high?
Yeah.
Give up everything? Where does that range? Maybe that's easy, right? No, give up everything.
Come on.
We have a saying around here that to be a disciple, you got to be willing to go anywhere, do anything, and give up everything to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, let's break that down. Go anywhere. Sure, I love to travel. Why not? I'll go anywhere. I'll go to Berlin. I'd love to come see you over there in Germany, not Berlin, Pennsylvania, Berlin, Germany. I'll go to Berlin, Pennsylvania too. I love to travel. I'll go anywhere. I'm a disciple. No. You're a traveler. Do anything. Try anything once. No, that's not a disciple. That's not what we're talking about. The deal breaker is give up everything. Isn't that the deal breaker? Because everything means everything. You don't have to go, what does that mean? Well, it means everything. You with me, guys? Or you cannot be my disciple. Salt here is talking about discipleship. The distinctive mark of discipleship is what? It's a complete allegiance to Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's what it means to be a disciple, right, guys?
Yeah.
It's not just because you attend church in America or anywhere else. And we say it over and over. Assembly religion in America in 2009 does not demand the kind of faith it takes to save your soul. And it won't change the world. And it won't change your city. And it won't even change your home. To go and do as I did all my life growing up. Sit, listen, and leave. And then live like anybody else Monday to Saturday. Or maybe even Sunday night. Check out, check in. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, is it good anymore? No, you throw it out. What did you do? You got up this morning, you cooked up your egg, and you got out your nice salt there, and you shook it on the egg, took a bite. Didn't even taste like salt. What are you going to do with the salt? You're going to throw it away? What about that poor salt? Oh, come on. Shouldn't you just keep it just because it used to be salt? We don't understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If we lose our saltiness, the Bible says here, you're thrown out. And what it says is, you're no longer good for the soil the kingdom, or the manure, the world. Once you become a disciple, okay, and we saw some that did today. Isn't it inspiring, you know, how Jose gave up everything? And they didn't tell you exactly what he said. But Mary Saul was kind of waiting, you know, I hope my husband does this, I'm waiting on my decision. But when Jose studied light and darkness, he said, oh my goodness, honey, I love you, but if you leave me, I'm doing this. You got to give up everything. That would be hating your wife. No, he loves her even more now that he's a Christian. But he does not love her anywhere near what he loves Jesus Christ. If you do, you can't be a disciple. Matthew says it like this. You cannot serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot love God and money. You can't do it. I think we think we can. I think we think we can. We cannot. We need money to exist in our society. That's different from loving it. Do you possess your possessions, or do they possess you?
Come on.
I'm not saying it's wrong to have a car. I'm not saying it's wrong to have two cars. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a nice car. But can you walk away from it at the drop of a dime for Jesus Christ?
Come on.
If there's anything in your life you can't walk away from, you're going to walk away sad like the rich young ruler.
Right.
You got to give up everything you have.
Yep.
If disciples lose their discipleship, what good are they?
Come on.
You're like a bottle of salt that's lost your saltiness. How can you get salty again? If followers of Jesus lose their distinctiveness, the fact that our allegiance is to Jesus. Somebody told me earlier, they've been making a lot of decisions based on how people are viewing them. And they need to repent and make decisions based on how Jesus views them. I said, absolutely. When you make decisions that please Jesus, I think the right people will be pleased. And if someone else isn't, they don't need to be pleased. That's the pepper part. We'll talk more about that. Are you losing your distinctiveness? Because that's Satan's plan for you. I want to talk to those that are already disciples. Once you make a decision to give up everything so you can get in that water. See, because my Bible says you go make disciples and you baptize them. You're not a candidate for baptism if you're not a disciple. And disciples give up everything. Or Jesus said you can't be one. Not of Him. You can be a disciple of religion in America in 2009, sure. But that won't get your soul saved. You guys with me?
Yeah.
And so, I want to ask you, disciples, are you losing your discipliness?
Come on, bro. Good question.
Or are you different? Are you distinctive? Look at Matthew.
Come on.
Matthew 5. There's another parallel passage here. Matthew 5:13, talking to the disciples. And I appreciate those of you that are on the verge of making this decision. There's quite a few people here that are studying, deciding, am I going to be a true disciple of Jesus? Because you can be a churchgoer, but you won't go to heaven. Why come hang with us all your life and go to hell? Well, what's that for? It's everything or nothing, guys.
Right.
And I appreciate Kevin. He just told me in the break, I'm next over there, guy.
Amen.
I'm next. Him and his wife, Hannah, are studying the Bible right now, and I'm praying for them.
Come on.
It says in Matthew 5, I was in Mark 5. I'm getting my books mixed up today. That's not good. Don't worry, I'm going to Matthew 5. Verse 13. Deny yourself. Amen. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. Wow! Who's he talking to? He's talking to disciples. Disciples are the salt of the earth. Remember what it's like to have food without salt? It's bland. That's the earth without disciples. It's not party animals that make the world awesome. It's disciples. Salt does a couple things if you study it out. Yes, it's a flavoring, but it's also a preservative. Keeps the food fresh. That's what disciples do for the earth. We preserve it. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. And you will save, you will preserve yourself and your hearers. Salt is good, guys. We're the salt of the earth. We are meant to add the flavor and preserve it. I believe the Christian life is life that is truly life.
Come on.
It is so rewarding. Juan Carlos is an amazing man of God.
Amen.
He traveled this week to Portland for 2 or 3 days to check on his house there. Remember when he moved here, he left his house. And God's blessed him, it's been being rented. Came here to help the Latin ministry, lead it. He went back to check on the house and to pick up Luis and Maricela's three kids who are over there. He travels, he comes back. Now you know Juan Carlos, those of you that know him, his health is not good. He has to get his rest. This guy got back, he's jet lagged, he's up till midnight, he's up till 2, and you see souls saved because of it. He is working hard. He is the salt of the earth. What happens if Juan Carlos loses his saltiness? He'd get back from Portland. I'm tired. I really can't do it. He wouldn't be out till midnight. He wouldn't be out till 2. And Juan Luis wouldn't be a saved soul right now. Disciples make a difference. Satan is whispering in your ear telling you you can't make a difference. I grew up going to church. I grew up going to church all my life. Did not make a difference. I was not distinctive. My allegiance was not to Jesus above all. Oh, I want to go to heaven. Why would anybody want to go to hell? But nobody taught me what I needed to be. That I needed to be a disciple. Let me ask you, are you losing your saltiness? Are you losing your distinctiveness as disciples? If you are, you are in grave danger. You're not okay. And you might not make it to heaven. You're in danger of being thrown out. And read on here. You're salt of the earth. But if salt loses saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for... What? That's Jesus. It's not good for nothing. Except to be thrown out and what? Trampled by men. You're not just thrown out, you're trampled. Let me explain. Once you know what you know about following Jesus, but if you lose that allegiance to Him and the gospel, you won't do well in the kingdom. You're not fit for the kingdom. Right? Luke 9:62. Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Those Jesus' words. Are you with me? But you're also not fit for the manure, the world. Because when you go back to the world, you go back to your sin, you know deep in your soul it's wrong, and you're guilty as all get out for it. Some of you have left God, you're living however you want to live, and when you lay on your bed at night, you are guilty as all get out before God. And you will face Him one day. And I hope you change first. But you're going to be trampled by men. This isn't a threat from God. It's a heartbreaking statement. In the kingdom, look around. This is incredible what we get to be a part of. You know, in the world, I was not a popular guy. I was a dweeb. And even worse, I was a crippled dweeb. All my life, I grew up. Braces on my legs, couldn't play sports. I grew up in Texas. Now you understand. If you're in Texas growing up, you don't play football, your manhood is questioned. And even worse, I found a home in drama. In Texas! I remember in English class one day, I love theater, and the football guy was picking on me, the stud was picking on me, right? He's like, "Oh, you drama guys." And, you know, drama people are called thespians. Well, he called me something else. I won't say what it was. But my English teacher said, "Oh, really? Then how come all you football boys patting each other on the butt out there on the football field?" I said, "I like my English teacher a little bit more." Because she took up for me. But I'm not, in all seriousness, I did grow up very persecuted and made fun of because I was crippled. I was not popular. Now, I could go all into it. It doesn't really matter. But when I became a Christian, and I did discipleship, and I realized, I become a Christian, I'm commanded to stop worrying about what people think of me and to love other people. And I remember when I got an understanding there, and it might have been somewhat selfish, but when I realized, oh my gosh, if I just stop thinking about myself and love everybody else here, they all have to love me. That's awesome. That's the kingdom. We love each other, and we treat the special parts with special modesty. I was talking with our young sister, Tina, about a gentleman that became a Christian here, but he fell away. He left God. He lost his saltiness. And he's not the most impressive guy either. And it broke my heart because I thought he'd have been a star in the kingdom. He'd have been treated. You walk in here and, you know, we're nothing. We're treated like rock stars. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We get to walk into church and get loved up on. Why anybody want to miss church? I got no idea. Except for sin. Because when you come here, you get so loved up on. It's amazing what we get. But this guy in the world, it's going to trample him. The world's not going to appreciate or respect him. Because he doesn't have much to give the world. You with me here? If you lose your saltiness, you're no good for anything being thrown out and trampled by men. And it breaks my heart. I've seen a lot of people walk away from God this year. It hurts. Now, it's awesome seeing people come in. We've seen a lot of people. Every single week this year, we've seen people get baptized. Like, we've had like 33 people get baptized this year. That's awesome. But they're not in heaven yet. They've got to keep their saltiness. They've got to keep... This is a long battle. You with me here? And I've watched people walk away. One fella who left the church recently. I won't say his name, but he left because of a girl. Because he's having an immoral relationship with a girl. And we got with him. Dude, don't give up the kingdom for some sexual relationship. What are you doing? There's no girl worth going to hell for. But he left anyway. And this is somebody we poured our lives out to. Come to find out, we get Facebooked by another girl who says, "Just so you know, before that guy got with this girl, he's been with me for 6 months, sleeping around with me." Lying to us all that time. Coming to church. Breaks your heart. Don't get me wrong, I have nothing but love for this young man. I want him to turn around and make it. But he's lost his saltiness. It's hard to get salty again. It requires an absolute humbling. and a coming back on your knees saying, I made the stupidest choice in the world. Please help me change. And then doing the things you did at first. Have you lost your saltiness? I'm developing a great friendship with a brother named Sasha who leads our church in Moscow. He's moving to L.A. for a couple years for more training, and then God willing, he'll go back and lead the efforts through the former Soviet Union. We were talking on the phone on Wednesday, and he was telling me, he said, Chris, I got about 12 people over here who want to be restored. Now, that's what we call it when people have walked away. And they need to come back. They've already repented. They've already been baptized. But they've lost their saltiness. They need to be restored back to their relationship with God. And he said, you know, what do you guys do to help people in that situation? He said, here's what I've done. First thing I do is I ask them, why did you fall away? Because that's a good question, isn't it? If you don't know why they left in the first place, you won't have an idea of how they might leave again. Because while Satan's crafty, he also tends to push the same buttons over and over and over again. So what caused you to lose your saltiness? But then he said, there are about four areas I've found that could cause people to lose their saltiness. And so I put together like a little counting of the cost about these four areas for people that want to get restored. You could probably guess what they are. Number one, seeking the kingdom first. When you start to lose your saltiness, you lose your allegiance to Jesus first, you stop building His kingdom and you start building your own.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
You start missing the meetings of the body. You start to make excuses. Oh, come on, it's just a midweek. You know, where in the Bible does it say you got to go to midweek, go to heaven? You've totally missed the point. You know, once you say that, you're so far off. What that says is, you must have not been out there sharing your faith and inviting a bunch of people to come to midweek if you don't think it's real important for you to be there and see all the people that are going to come because you were salty.
Come on. Yep. Come on.
See, you're far gone at that point.
Yep.
You forget, I got to be at midweek because one of my brothers might be struggling and I may be the one that God wants to help them. We need each other. And when you're dull, you forget how strong the battle is. And one service might be the first bad decision in a long line of bad decisions that leads to you losing your saltiness. And then you're not fit, you're thrown out, you're trampled. But we're so dull. We think it's just church service. You've lost your allegiance to Jesus. This is His kingdom. This is His church. This isn't some little community diddly diddly whatever. Do you believe that we're going to change this city? It won't happen with mediocre allegiance to Jesus. Everybody's got to be giving up everything. If we're not, we're no longer examples for people. We're excuses for people. When he misses, why can't I miss? Instead of, look at Juan Carlos. Now I want to be like that. How about Nick Donnelly? I'm so proud of Nick Donnelly. Nick is calling me higher. He came back from L.A. He confessed. He said, I've been a wicked and lazy servant. And he has repented. He's been fruitful recently. He's the reason Kevin and Hannah are here studying. Yesterday, he called me up. Chris, I got so many studies, I can't get people in them. So why do you think you can't fish for men? What's Nick got that you don't? Courage. Guys, we're the salt of the earth. We got to stop making excuses. We can make a difference. And I went down and got in the study with Nick, and just because God called me to do that and I responded, long story short, I got to talk for about 10-15 minutes with one of the starters for the Bears.
Come on.
He bought me a Pepsi.
Yeah.
And he knows about our church.
Yeah.
But that's only because I answered Nick's call to go get in a study with him.
Yeah.
You can't lose your saltiness. Don't be an excuse. Be an example. Don't lose your saltiness. It says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Now, it's the last thing we're going to talk about here. Being at peace with each other. Look at Matthew 10. This is another verse a lot of people misunderstand. You guys with me? Being at peace with each other. Christians are just supposed to be nice people. Salt of the earth. Love everybody. Right? Treat them kind. We're supposed to be at peace with everybody. Matthew 10, 34. Jesus says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. That's the pepper, with me? Pepper's good too. Jesus thought so. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, remember the parallel verse in Luke? Anyone who does not hate can't be my disciple. Same way to say it right here. Anyone who does not love me more isn't worthy of me. You see it? Doesn't mean send hate mail to your mama. It means love Jesus more. And the reason you can't be disciples is because if you don't, you're not worthy to be. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. It's very simple. God sent Jesus. Jesus sent the apostles. The apostles sent disciples who sent disciples who sent disciples who sent you.
Amen.
And if you're received, they're receiving God.
Amen.
John 15.
Amen, bro. Come on. Great stuff.
John 15, verse 18.
Come on, bro.
If the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first. Isn't that a great scripture? That's Jesus. Hey, guys, if the world hates you, well, hated me first. Wow. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Does the world hate you? Or are you at peace with it? See, salt is good, but pepper is good too. We're not meant to be nice for nice sake. We're meant to love people. And that means saying the truth, even when it gets a little hot. If we have our distinctiveness, if we have an absolute allegiance to Jesus, where we're willing to walk away from anything in our lives for His sake, man, that's going to make people around you feel a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Verse 20, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted you, me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they'll obey yours also. They'll treat you this way because of my name. So, what Jesus is saying is, if you're distinctive, if you're like me, you'll be loved or hated based on how they feel about me. But if you lose your saltiness, that won't happen. You with me, guys?
Yeah.
Salt is good, but pepper is good too. Christians won't be at peace with everybody. Remember, he was talking to the disciples. He was saying to the disciples, have salt in yourselves. Don't lose your saltiness. And be at peace with each other. Each other who? The other disciples. Again, that's what makes this place so amazing. If your marriage has Jesus as Lord, it's going to be incredible. strife will be resolved. Because you see in each other a common allegiance to Jesus and the gospel. If Jesus isn't Lord of your marriage or your household, which is why we say Christians ought to live together. A Christian household should be a peaceful household.
Right.
When Jesus is Lord.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah.
But if it's not, your enemies will be in your own house. This is what Jesus said. A mother and her daughter. Moms and daughters here? Okay? A mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Okay? There won't be true peace. Now, you can be nice to each other. But true peace only comes with a common allegiance to Jesus as Lord. You with me? A lot of people say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. Save me. Save me. Salt me. Preserve me. Give me some flavor. Yeah. But I don't want you to be my Lord. That's the pepper. I don't want to eat ground pepper. That's the Lord part. Where I will obey what you say. I will do what you say. It's that common allegiance. Who we are affects those around us. Look at Mark 9. You guys tired?
No.
Good. We're getting there. In Mark 9, let's look at a powerful verse. Verse 42. Okay, how does God feel about people that lose their saltiness? Oh boy. Mark 9, 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. Guys, Jesus said that. That's why I say he can't be at peace with everybody. Because not everybody's going to like it when you say something like that. Who you are affects those around you. You are either striving to be a righteous man and calling others to be righteous, or a righteous woman calling others to be righteous, or you're in sin and you are causing others around you to sin. You're an example or an excuse to other people. That's why you got to watch your life and doctrine close so you can be their salt. It says here, Matthew's tie millstone, that's a big old rock. Jesus says, if you're going to cause somebody else around you to sin, who believe in me to sin, you need to just tie that around your neck and go jump off the end of the Navy Pier. It'd be better for you to do that than to cause one who believes in me to sin. I told you it's going to get a little hot today.
Yeah, come on, bro. Great stuff.
I want to close by talking about some sin. That I believe we need to repent of. Teresa is an incredible cook. And she was cooking a roast the other day. It steamed in the crock pot all day. You could smell it. And it was salty. And it was good. The next day, we decided to have some of that leftover roast. So we popped it in the microwave. Took it out of the microwave, and it was simmering. And she put it on the right there by the sink on the counter, and we turned around, and we heard what was the equivalent of a gunshot. Boom! And we looked up, and there was a 6-foot radius of meat across the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yes! We're like, whoa, I've never seen anything like that! You see, in the center of the meat was a big chunk of fat. And it blew up. I've never seen it. It blew up, baby. Oh, Joel, the single brothers are cutting it off the ceiling and eating it. Amen. What we're trying to do in our church right now is what we've got to do in our nation. We're trying to trim the fat, guys. And I don't want to offend anybody here. A lot of you have heard, you know, I've lost about 40 pounds since Christmas. And I feel a lot better. A lot healthier. Pat Bouye's lost over 30 pounds now. Pat Sr.
Amen.
There are quite a few men I know in the congregation and sisters trying to deal with this issue. This is not an appearance issue. This is not I want to look good before people. This is a serious issue about our health.
Yep.
I want to read you this. Modern research gives us these stats about obesity. It's reached epidemic levels, and it's far past time to begin addressing this life-threatening issue. The causes of obesity are almost always the same, very simple. Number one, overconsumption and other improper eating habits. You eat too much. Number two, eating foods that offer no nutrition. And number three, failing to remain physically active. Very simple, right? But what do? We get comfortable, we get lazy, and we get fat. As opposed to Jesus' plan in James 1, which is considered pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because suffering produces perseverance. Suffering purifies us. Comfort causes us to sin. Let me read you these. Obesity diseases account for almost every known disease, including arthritis, diabetes, coronary heart disease, strokes, kidney failure, liver disease, cancer, hypertension, many more. Some of the shocking stats about obesity are these. Over 58 million Americans are overweight. Over 40 million Americans are obese. Over 3 million Americans are morbidly obese. More than 80% of Americans do not engage in adequate physical activity. 80%. And you know, for me all my life I made an excuse because of my leg braces that I couldn't exercise. Now I was able to tell a starting defensive player for the Bears that I pray and climb 34 flights every day. He said, I don't even climb 34 flights. Amen. But I was able to do something I never thought I could do because of the excuses I made for myself. More than one quarter of all Americans are considered to be completely sedentary. In adults between 30 and 40, okay? Young people, between 30 and 40, there's been greater than 78% increase in type 2 diabetes since 1990. 80% more between the age of 30 and 40 have type 2 diabetes. More than 85% of all diabetes cases are due to obesity and being overweight. More than 70% of all heart-related disease is heavily correlated with being obese or overweight. 45% of all breast and colon cancer is because of being overweight or obese. 30% of all gallbladder operations are caused by obesity or being overweight. High blood pressure. How about childhood obesity statistics? Only 4% of children were considered obese in 1982. Now, more than 30% are. See, who you are affects those around you. More than one quarter of all obese children are showing symptoms of the development of type 2 diabetes. Do I need to go on? It can be fixed very simply. Same way, thank God that I've been able to lose the weight I've lost, and I got more work to do. And if I stop making the right decisions, I'll be right back where I started. See, if we lose what we're doing, what good is it? You see what I'm saying? But I want to encourage you today. So many people, the reason we're in the spot we're in is because we don't know any better. We don't know any different. But if we can learn, if we can be examples for people, and if we can be the salt of the earth and teach them, people can change. People can overcome sins and issues in their life that they never thought they could overcome. Marriages can be richer than they've ever been. Relationships between children and their parents can be richer than they've ever been. But not if you give up. Not if you lose your saltiness. Many people sold their homes to move here. Just recently, the Fellises moved downtown. They were so afraid of making this decision. Anthony was like a roller coaster, baby. I mean, you don't have to go to Six Flags. Just ride him daily. I want to do it. No, I don't. I want to do it. No, I don't. Oh, it's going to be so small. It's going to be so great. Are you with me? When it's time to trim the fat, it's challenging. But I appreciate Anthony Fellis. Because they moved downtown in a much smaller place. Their kids are sharing a bedroom. They have two cars. It's going to be hard for them to do it. So you know what? Our lease was up. We didn't get another car. We're driving one of their cars. Let's help each other. It's like the Bouyers and Eileen. Eileen moved in with the Bouyers. Now they're able to work together and pay the house. That's the kingdom. Jason, our young brother, loaned his car to a brother to go to work. He shared last week how giving up that comfort helped him to walk, and he met two people and got two phone numbers that he never met if he was driving. Suffering and sacrifice is going to purify us. Cornell shared the other day, if I just stop eating out half as much as I do, I could double my contribution. That's Cornell's heart. He, it's not even I can't ever eat out. It's just if we're disciplined about it. See, that's what I've noticed about my losing weight. Every time you feel like eating, you don't have to. Newsflash. See, I was raised where if I didn't finish everything on my plate, it was going to be waiting for me at breakfast. And to this day, it's hard for me not to eat everything on the plate. You with me? That's what's in me. And in America, they serve some big plates. There's a diet called the Way Down Diet. I don't know if you've heard of it, but a good friend of Teresa's from like 30 years ago in L.A. has lost about 30 pounds being on this Way Down Diet. And very simply, it teaches you a lot of things, but one of the big ones is, just eat when you're hungry. It's deep, isn't it? I guarantee you, I bet you none of you do it. Maybe one or two. It's dinner time. Let's sit down at the table. Let's all eat. Why? Because we're supposed to, because it's dinner time. But I'm not hungry. Eat anyway. Here, eat two plates. How about three? Instead of, when I've eaten enough, a small, I'm not hungry anymore. That's the obesity. That's America. Just indulge. Whatever you want, whenever you want. But, if, you know, lately I'm walking around. Let me go buy a coffee. No, I don't need to. I'll wait till a couple hours when I get home and I'll make a pot of coffee. Making the decisions to get disciplined, to trim the fat, it's going to help all our lives. And it's going to help us stop just investing in our kingdom and invest in the kingdom of God. In verse 49 it says here, everyone will be salted with fire. What does that mean? Salt is good, but salting with fire? I don't know. What it means is, we're all going to go through testing. We're all going to be called by God to give up things at different times. I shared about people that gave up homes to move here. Have you lost your saltiness? Or are you ready to give it up again? Are you ready to go again? See, when we lose our distinctiveness, when we lose Jesus as being Lord, we stop being willing to make decisions we've made before. When I lived in Syracuse, it's good seeing Janet here from the church there. Teresa and I lived in a 5-bedroom house on 3/4 acre, a block from a lake. It was gorgeous. Only cost $130,000 to buy. Syracuse, not Chicago. Sorry, guys. But guess what? I don't miss it at all. Now we live in a 2-bedroom with a den, and my almost 10-year-old daughter lives in the den for 3.5 years with no doors on her, where there should be doors. It's a curtain. Hey, that's okay. We love where we live. Why? Because there's a lot of lost people around where we live to help. But where I live right now, I don't care to stay there. I could walk away tomorrow and go somewhere else. How about you? Janet was saying how she loves Chicago. She said, I like Chicago a lot better than New York City. You know, it's a much cleaner city. You know, and now Jay would cringe at, he wants to be on the farm in Wisconsin. So he goes, Chicago, ugh. You know, it's all perspective. But Jay came anyway. Janet goes, New York City, it's true, it's dirty, it's filthy. Do you guys know New York City doesn't have alleys? No alleys. So when you go out the front door of your building, there's garbage piled about this high in the mornings waiting to be picked up. About from those tables to the end of those chairs. Different blocks. Just garbage. Smells bad. Yeah. Yeah, but guess what? I told Janet, you know why I love New York City? There's twice as many lost souls there to save as in Chicago. What is your perspective? Are you losing your saltiness? There was a guy once who was in a group and he was sharing and he said, you know what? I want to help you guys learn how to get your finances in order. So one time, I was down to my last dollar. Had $1 left. And I didn't know what to do. And so I decided to do what that widow did in the Bible. To put in all I had to live on and to trust God. Everything I had. I put that dollar in the plate. Now, God's blessed me. Last year, my business made over $1 million. Now I want to help all of you get your financial house in order too. And a little old woman in the group said, sir, I have one question for you. He said, okay. She said, I dare you to do it again. God bless you.